What do you think is your favorite part about being a parent?
I think my favorite part, I don't know, you probably don't remember, I do. The Fruit of the Spirit series, I remember because I was the one that gave this message. But I talked about goodness as one of the fruit of the Spirit. And the idea is that God made the world good, and he calls us to restore goodness in our corner of the world. You remember that?
I do.
Okay, good. And so I think, you know, the most rewarding part of parenting is when we get those glimpses of our children doing that. When, like, as my kids, you know, they're all in school, and you start to get these glimpses of them being people restoring goodness to their corner of the world. And I've had some really cool moments with that. And it's not always, I mean, man, there's times where, like, I need to restore order to their corner of the world. But I was thinking about one. It was at soccer this summer, and Emerson was playing soccer. The other two girls were just there watching. And one of Kinsley's friends came off the field crying. She was upset that they lost, that she didn't score, all this stuff. And I watched Kinsley go over and put her arm around her and talk to this girl and tell her, like, hey, it's okay, even if you had a bad game, you know, like, and just gave her, like, this pep talk. And I was, like, at a distance where I could, like, faintly hear what she was saying, but I couldn't really, mm-hmm. I could just see it. And I watched this girl change from bawling to, like, wiping her tears and walking away with a smile on her face. And, like, what that did for my heart as a parent, like, to see her actually restoring goodness in that corner of the world in that moment, it was so cool. So I think that's it. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. We laugh a lot. We have a lot of fun. I think it's really rewarding to try and pass, like, humor onto your kids. I think there's a lot of good, important things to pass on, but we always wanted to raise funny kids, and, you know, so we have a house where we joke and laugh a lot, and then you start to see your kids developing that sense of humor, or they say something that, like, genuinely really makes you laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great. That's the best. I love that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting to kind of see, like I said, that the glimpses of yourself in them, but them being, like, totally spontaneous and just coming up with, Ezra says, some of the strangest things that I love. I love his absurdity.
For my own amusement, can you tell the story that made me laugh so much in the office this week?
I realized I was raising a kid from the 1930s when we forgot sandwiches last Friday. We were going to go picnic on the park. Deanna's working on Friday, so I got two boys by myself. I'm like, we're going to go have a picnic. And I'm a pretty forgetful person. I'm not good at remembering things most of the time.
You remembered your wife's birthday.
I did. Yeah, that's a big win for me,
big one.
Too. So we went to the park, sat down, popped open the trunk, didn't bring the picnic basket. So it then becomes not a picnic when you forget the whole picnic, all the food.
Then it's just a hungry trip to the park.
And then Ezra looks up at me and I'm just like, ah, buddy, I forgot the picnic basket. We don't have any food. He goes, golly gee, Dad, we forgot the sandwiches. That's okay. We can still have fun. And I said, I don't think I say golly gee, but somehow.
What I think is so funny about that is that we joke a lot about you being an old soul, mm-hmm. that you are, like, secretly 70. So your son sounding like a character from Happy Days just really made my day.
I liked it. I'm glad that he appreciates my language enough that he wants to emulate that. Parenting is challenging too, obviously.
Oh, wow. So now that you mention it.
I hope it's been good for you.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
But I think the most challenging thing for me is wanting them to be better quicker and not, you know, trying to rush that process along. I mean, we've been told that Ezra's, you know, he's so smart for his age, all this stuff. And I take that, I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to still push him really hard to be better. And I forget that he's 3-year-old and his, you know, I don't let him be as imaginative or be in his own world as much as I think I should at times. And I think that's good for his development, and that's good that he's able to be that imaginative. But when we're trying to get shoes on and trying to get out the door,
it's not the time.
Buddy, back to my world. We got to get this stuff done. And that's what I've been really cognizant of lately is just, like, letting him be in his own world and be who he is rather than being the person that I want him to be 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good challenge.
What do you think you struggle with as a parent?
I mean, I think a lot, just a lot really. What you said, like, when you have an agenda and they have, like, an agenda of a child, that's really difficult, right? Like, when I know everyone needs to get dressed and fed and ready to go to school so I can go to work. And you are like just deep into Lego play or Barbie play or whatever else. Like, that's always such a rub when it's like, I understand what we need to do and you're trying to be a child. And that's inconvenient at a lot of times. I think my biggest thing, when you said, you said at the beginning, you can speak into a child's life. I just feel like I do a lot of speaking into it. Probably my biggest frustration is there's not a lot of listening. Like, I asked all of my children when they are introduced to like taking another language in school, don't take Spanish or French, take sign language. I'm legitimately concerned that they might be deaf. because there's just times where you say things and you're like, don't do that. Yeah. Go grab your shoes. Like, I will do something like go upstairs and be like, okay, I got to run upstairs. Everyone get your shoes on so you're ready when the bus comes. And you feel like that's a pretty clear thing. And then I come back downstairs and there's literally zero shoes on feet. Yeah. And like, those are the moments for me when I just want to be like, what went wrong here? Like, let's sit down as a team. Let's break this down. I gave you very clear instructions in a language I believe you speak. And like, it seems like nothing was said. Like, those for me, those are the times when I find myself most frustrated. I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That in your agenda, you're like, we're never going to get done. We're never going to get anywhere unless you listen to me, unless we just, you know, you follow directions. A couple nights ago, we've been struggling with him to eat what we want him to eat. Just we make, normal food, I think, and he just doesn't like it.
Did you get him onion pizza?
I didn't get him any onion pizza. He mushrooms and peppers are just out of the question for him. Those are his two things. We've just been putting his dinner in the fridge, and when he wants to eat it, we're saying that's what you're getting for your next meal. When you get hungry again, that's what you're getting. So right before he went to bed the other night, he said, "Daddy, I want a snack." I said, "Your dinner is still in the fridge. I'm going to go get that." Gave it to him in his room. He has a little tray in his room that he sits at. He sits down and he's hungry. He told me he's hungry. So that's in the best interest, is to feed himself so he cannot be hungry anymore. But in mind, it would be better to take all of the ranch off of the hamburger and to put it in his hair like hair gel. So, you know, right before bed, I walk into his room and there's Ezra with spiky ranch hair. Yeah. And goes like, he's like, pretty cool, right? So Ezra got another bath that night, and that's the most frustrating thing, is they never seem to know what's in their best interest.
Yeah.
But I do, I think. And so I think it's great to laugh at those moments, to look back and just think like, this kid, like someday he's not going to, you know, we're not going to get to be in those moments.
Some days he's not going to put ranch in his hair. He's going to be too old to put ranch in his hair, and you're going to miss those days.
Yeah,
When you give him the tray, do you like open the door and walk in, or do you slide it through like a slot into his room?
I take it right in. So that was the one time we let him have dinner in his room, right before bed. And it was the last time, because apparently if you leave a three-year-old alone, he'll put ranch in his hair right before he's supposed to go to bed. So we've discussed frustrations and what it is like to raise kids. What do you think the difference is between raising like good kids and raising great adults?
Yeah, I find that to be encouraging, right? Because I think, kids they're processing things, they're understanding, they want to know the why, right? They want to really grasp that why. And so that's harder. I think it's harder in the moment, you know, when your kids are doing something and you say, stop, and like you want them to stop immediately, and hopefully that's the goal, that's obedience, right? That's the loving discipline stage. But kids that I think are developing more will want to know why. Like, well, why can't? And so then you have to have an answer for everything. And it's not, I don't take it as like a pushback on authority, right? But it's having to always give a more in-depth answer, because they're not just saying, okay, my dad said this, I did it, that's it. They want to, even if they did it right away, even if they were obedient and obedient quickly, they still want to understand that. And I think that's part of developing the character, right? Of doing that, of saying, hey, you don't run out in the road to chase a ball. And like, you can just not do it because I said not to do it. And you know that if you do, you get in trouble. It's most beneficial if you learn that cars drive down that street, and that if you do that, you might die trying to get a $5 kickball, you know? And so it's that, I just think it adds another layer, because you're always doing more than just what is on the surface. Like, obedience is a surface thing. And that, but the understanding that comes with that, that's so much deeper. And so it's always more work. You know, it's more work to say, we do our homework. Well, why? Because you don't want to get in trouble at school for not doing your homework. But then you have to go into even more than that. Well, homework helps, you know, you learn how to learn and discipline, and you're going to carry that on into high school. And like, you work all the way through that, right? To eventually, like, doing your homework today is going to hopefully lead you to a rewarding career that you genuinely enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a long road to get there, but I think you have to be more concerned with the long-term why and not just the immediate, do what I said because I'm the authority figure, and if we need to, I can be louder and scarier than you, like, if necessary.
Absolutely. I've always thought that, like, putting your kid in timeout or, like, you know, grounding them or whatever, you know, whatever language you use, you're grounding yourself, too, and you're putting yourself into timeout, too.
Yeah.
Because it can never become like a tool of I just need to be away from you right now. Go sit in timeout. It generally should be a formative thing. So whenever Ezra gets in timeout, he goes in timeout, and then we sit in timeout with him, and then we you know, the exit of timeout is talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's in a way that's what the difference for parenting in my experience is. You're going to lose. You have to sacrifice quite a bit if you want to get, you know, through that phase. I really liked what you had said about, I don't remember now, actually.
But it was great.
But it was probably
not memorable,
really good.
But it was good.
Yeah, it was probably really good.
Amy always likes, if there's a day where she's home the next day and I'm not, if I give out a discipline of like a loss of tablet time, like our girls have said, they got to get this stuff done and then they can have some tablet time. And she always really appreciates when I take tablet time away in a day, I'm not even going to be home, because that's then a punishment for her as well. That she's like, I was going to, you know, shower and get some things done during that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was about discipline. Proverbs? Discipline's never fun in the moment.
Yeah.
It's Hebrews.
Discipline is pleasant at the time, but it leads to this, you know, but down a better path. It leads to righteousness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I didn't actually say that. That was the writer of Hebrews.
Yeah.
I was quoting a quote.
I really like that, because it's when I was growing up, my father used fear. That's how I'm going to control this household. I'm going to use my hands in fear to get my obedience out of children, which only taught me that I had to be smarter and sneakier than my dad in order to get what I wanted. And I think when I was listening to the sermon, that's what I kind of took out of it. Is Deanna and I have made a vow together never to hit our kids out of frustration or out of anger, just to hit them because we want to hit them.
Yeah, right? Just good old fashioned.
You know,
edit that
spankings.
Out. Cut that out. This is live. This is live.
Because it didn't seem.
Yeah,
it never
it's
felt
that disciplining out of frustration when you're mad. That's a terrible place to be.
Yeah, it never felt formative. It's always just like, oh wow, I want to hit you, so I'm gonna hit you. And it's way harder to get that across in a 3-year-old's mind. It seems that this is for you. I'm doing this for you. It's in your best interest.
Yeah.
And that's why I just think when you discipline, you're disciplining everybody, right? It's not just the kid.
It's not fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I definitely didn't grasp as a kid, was that it's not like the parents aren't like, oh, good, here comes some discipline. You know, like, it stinks for us. We don't want to do it. We'd prefer not to do it. But also, we have a long enough, you know, term view to say, well, if we don't do it, here's what's going to happen. So,
absolutely. Yeah, Kevin Hart had a funny joke about that. Him and his mom and his brother grew up in a studio apartment. So whenever he would get grounded and lose TV, Kevin Hart said, I guess you're not watching TV either. Then, because we live in a studio apartment.
Do people know that you are an encyclopedia of all stand-up comedy?
I don't think so.
Well, now they do. Now they do.
Now it's in the world. It's out in the waves. I can't take it back.
This is live, so it's going out like that.
Yeah. So we probably have time for one more question. And I think a great question to end on would be, what are you doing in your family other than, you know, being a pastor and preaching on the weekend? What's a good structure for family life to raise kids up that know Jesus, love coming to church? It's tough being in ministry and still having church in your family be a holy spiritual thing. It's not just, this isn't just where daddy goes to work all week. This is, this is a, you know, a wholesome life forming, you know, entity. And what do you do in your family particularly to try to keep the church holy and, you know, spiritual for your kids and family?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, the best thing, and I say this, I'm biased, but it's totally true. The best thing that I get to do is I bring them to a church that they love, which is, you know, in given what I do, not every pastor gets to say that or gets to do that. And so I love that I get to bring them to a church where kids matter so much, you know, where it's a beautiful place, there's a lot of energy, great people teaching them. So my kids love it. They love school, but Sunday is their favorite day of the week. Yeah, so I mean, I'm kind of, I think a lot of that, so much of that, I almost every morning am out before the girls are even dressed. And so, so much of that falls to Amy to do that, you know, to bring all the kids to church by herself to, you know, to get that all set. But I think, you know, we want to make sure that they know it's a priority. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, even on weeks when I'm not here, you know, depending where I was in California in August, and Amy still brought the girls to church because this is our church. They don't come here just because I get paid to stand up and talk. They come here because this is our church and we have those relationships. You know, when we go somewhere, like we'll still go to church even if it's a weekend off or whatever that is. So I want them to be able to separate that. Like we go to church because we believe in what's being taught. We believe in the power of Jesus and God and the resurrection and his ability to give our life direction that it doesn't have otherwise. And not just because, well, this is where daddy works. Mm-hmm. And if anything, my kids feel far too comfortable here as far as holy. When you said, you know, take this in a holy way, my kids, this is like an extension of their house and their minds, you know. Yeah. And I love that. I love that they love this church and they're well known and there's so many people here that care for them. But we go on the other side of being like, hey, don't be irreverent here, like running through thinking that,
yeah,
I don't own the place, so I'm not sure how they came to believe that they own the place, but we try at least.
Yeah, try to calm it down just a little bit. Yeah, it's been, you know, kind of difficult for me starting up these last 2 years, just trying to kind of find that balance. Like, this is my job, but it's also my church, and trying to, I think Pastor Vern does a great job of, he'll take a week off, but he still comes to church,
yeah,
and he still says, like, I'm not working this weekend. I'm just, I'm here, you know, to be, you know, to be filled by the community that we have here. And I just love personally, the church is so dedicated to the next generation and kids.
We even have a next generation pastor.
I'd like to meet him. He sounds like a good guy.
He is. Yeah. You'd like him.
And it's just great because a lot of churches and even culture, it's just like kids are they're the future, but we're not worried about the future right now. We're worried about the present.
Right.
And I just love that Northgate's worried about the future, that we're going to bring up kids that know Jesus and they're going to, you know, go out and speak in his name, that we're not like a cloistered church, that we don't say like, we do our thing here.
Right.
Don't go out in the community and talk to people about Jesus. You know, they're all heathens and, you know, we don't want them in here. No, we want everybody. We want the whole community to come.
The more the merrier.
We want any, you know, any kid to come in. It's just great. It's a great environment to be a part of. I've never known any other environment as far as church goes. So
I have, and this is the best.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Do you believe that children are our future?
I do. Yeah. Absolutely.
If we teach them well, can we let them lead the way?
I think we should. And I think that's exactly what God did for us, right?
Show us all the beauty we possess inside.
Okay. I don't know that song, probably, I imagine.
I'll sing it when we turn the cameras off.
Is it We Are the World?
Is it? No.
Oh, all right. Wow. You have a good way of derailing.
It's my I just want to pull you off course, and I feel like that went well.
It did. You got me. Oh, so what's tell me one story short about parenting. What's your favorite like parenting story that you would tell people about you know, just one thing, why you became a dad, why you love having children and kids? They're not different, but
children and kids. I have a little bit of, you know what? One thing I really appreciate about kids, and even though it's painful, is how honest they are. And like, even I don't think they're doing it disrespectfully. I'll give you two quick ones because one is me and one was Amy, and I thought they were both really funny. But Amy was saying something about how, you know, she'd gone to work that day, and the girls were like, she got them on the bus and off the bus. And they're like, well, you worked. And she's like, well, yeah, what? I didn't need to just sit here while you were gone all day. She said, what do you want me, just to sit on the porch in yoga pants waiting for the bus to come? And Emmy looks up, she's five, she looks up and said, you do yoga? And it was just like, it was such, like, that's just their honesty, right? And Grace, mm-hmm. I got with Grace a little bit ago, she had got a guitar for Christmas and she hadn't been playing it much. And I said, hey, are you even playing that guitar that you have? And she said, I use my guitar as much as you use your treadmill. And it was like same thing of like, they're so honest, you know, mm-hmm. And people might think that's disrespectful. I made sure she knew it's the summer and I can walk the dogs outside, like check back when it's like 10 below about the treadmill. Yeah. But I love that. I love kids will tell you exactly the truth,
yes,
whether you want it or not. And so, you know, they can burn you because they know, they see everything, mm-hmm. and they'll pull things out at the wrong time and or the right time, I guess.
Yeah, Ezra always he's like a food critic. He's the Iron Chef in the house. Apparently, he knows all the foods and he'll tell you what he likes and what he doesn't like. And he doesn't say like, "Mom, this is good. Thank you for making me something." He says, "This isn't terrible," or "This is terrible." So yeah, Deanna made us
spaghetti.
That's
the scale.
That's
not terrible.
Not terrible. Yeah, this is not terrible. I will eat this. Because apparently all food is terrible. And then there's just some food out there that's not terrible.
I like when my kids include actually in compliments.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I made a little bit ago, and one of them said, this is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why the actually?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah. You can just leave that out.
Yeah.
It stays the same.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention all the children programming that we have going on at Northgate. So under my purview is middle school base, high school base. Those meet on Wednesday nights for middle school. It's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. 6 to 8 p.m. for middle school. That's on Wednesdays at the South Campus. And then Sundays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. also at the South Campus for high school. And we do have middle school and high school classes that meet during the church services at 11 o'clock. High schoolers are in the office, and the middle schoolers are in the
Meeting rooms two and three
that we can open up now.
Yeah,
make one big room. And what do we have going down in the children's room?
We got everything, man. On Saturdays we have childcare for kids that are not school age yet. We're working on that and making sure we have something. So if people come in, it's a boy we can grow on Saturday. And then Sunday it's full. You know, it's infant room, toddler room, preschool room, and then K to four at 9:30 and 11. So any age there is. You know, appropriate programming and safe care and beautiful facility, wonderful people. It is. I mean, it is a great place to bring your church. I think that's always the the underlying question to ask pastors is like, if you didn't work here, would you attend here? And 100%, yeah. 100%. If I mean, unless I worked for another church, they'd probably expect me to go. But if just tomorrow I woke up and I was going to, you know, go back to the mortgage industry, this would still be my church. And that's probably the biggest reason why. It's just the awesome programming and people and facilities that we have for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we started actually 2009 was when Deanna and I started coming here. So we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary in September. So, or in October when we started coming. So also, if you haven't met Leah Lennon, she's our new child care director.
But no, children's ministry director.
Children's ministry director.
You've got fifth grade and up. She's got fourth grade and down.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're
very
both
good.
Leading those teams, doing a great job.
Trying. I'm going to keep doing it as long as Vern lets me.
Keep coming back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Every week on Thursday, so today, this afternoon when I walk out, I'll ask Pastor Vern if I should come back next week, and hopefully he says yes.
We're on almost 2 years of him saying yeah.
Yeah.
Come back for another one.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor John, thanks for joining me this week. And what are you talking about next week?
This weekend we're talking about being single. Being single.
Being single,
yeah. What? We're going to talk, it can be a hard place. The church can be a hard place to be single. Mm-hmm. So we're going to address that head on. We're going to talk to married people about how we can be a great church for single people. We're going to talk to people that are single and desire to stay that way, and to people that are single and don't desire to stay that way. So I'm excited about this one.
Very good. Very good. Always a pleasure to have you on In Addition. And we'll see you every other Thursday right back here at 12. For next time's In Addition, I suppose.
All right.
Very good.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care.